Well, guys, I could tell this was the holidays. Thanksgiving was coming up, and you know my story. Thanksgiving every year, all of Margie's family descends. And we had L.A., we had Chicago, we had New York City. We had Birmingham, we had Columbus, we had Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Little Rock, Arkansas, and then we had San Diego, and then we had Oregon. So all of these people, like, you know, they come to our house, and we live in like a trailer. So it was like, you know, 30-something people in the house eating turkey and stuff like that. And you know me, I don't like people. I'm nervous around people. And so I was like this the whole time. But here's what I really appreciated about this time is as soon as the first car arrived, as soon as the first visitor arrived, they start hitting you with questions. Hey, when are we going to eat? What can I do? And then the kids come, and the grandkids are awesome, man. I love my grandkids. There's Breck and Ridge. You figure that one out, Breck and Ridge. And then there's Rhea, and that's my grandkids, and we're all excited about all that. And as soon as they get there, hey, Papa, do you have any Pokemon cards for me? Papa, can you fix me something to drink? I want the one with the yellow straw. Hey, Papa, can you do this? Papa, can you do this? Papa, can you do this? And as a grandparent, the reason they feel so free, I think, to do that is because there is almost a 99% chance of whatever they're asking for, I'm going to move heaven and heck to make it happen for them. Because that's what we do as grandparents, right? I mean, I got one job, spoil my kids, and I'm great at it, you know? But do you realize that they are unafraid to ask because they know that they are loved deeply? And even if I have to tell them no, because oftentimes they're asking for stuff and they don't even know. They're like, hey, can I have this? And you're thinking by the time you get this, they're already asking for something else, right? But the fact is, they know that they are loved so much that they just come and they bring their request. And if they've got some news to share, they come. They can't wait to share the news. You know, like when they come up and Ridge this year, he drew this beautiful picture of like this Santa. And he couldn't wait to share that with us, right? And that's great because as a grandparent, I get joy out of blessing my children and my grandchildren. Now, I say all that because James, he has been beating up on these people. Do this. Do it. Man, your tongue is getting you in trouble. Hey, you don't have any works. You're not showing anything in your life. How can people tell that you are different than the world? And so James has been beating him up and beating him up and beating him up. But then he gets to the very end in chapter 5, and it's called the prayer of faith. He goes in chapter 5 and he's talking about, oh, you rich, better weep now. You know, your riches have rotted. And he's going on to these things. And then he's telling people, be patient. You know, wait until the coming of the Lord. Just hang on, hang in there. And again, James has been talking about this idea of real faith, but he ends with the prayer of faith. And just like us with our grandkids or with our children, God is that way with us. And he desires this conversation with us. And he's saying, you know, speak to me. Share the good things. I want to see that picture you painted. I want to know what your deepest fears are. I want to know what you need. And God wants to bless us as well. Family and kids asking questions, needing things, giving things. And it gives us joy to bless them just like it gives God the opportunity to bless us. In the MacArthur Bible, I kind of copied this out of there. It says this: fellowship and communion with God involving adoration, worship, praise, thanksgiving, supplication, petition, confession, repentance, meditation, dedication, and intercession. Christian prayer addresses God as Father through and in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son, and is based on the confidence that He hears His children. Prayer is drawn partly from the urgency of human needs and partly from the promise and challenge of God's Word. Personal prayer is shaped by the awareness of God's very presence. That kind of oversees our personal prayer, that he's listening to us and we're aware of his presence in our life. Corporate prayer, that's all of us together, is the living breath of the church. Through prayer, the church resists the assaults of Satan, receives the gifts of grace, seeks deliverance, healing, and the restoration for the saints. It supports evangelization. evangelization and hastens the return of the Lord. It is important that we pray as a church. And so James now is saying, you want to see your faith, you want your walk to match up with your talk. Listen to this. This is the prayer of faith. And this is what he says. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. And so as I looked at that, is anyone among you suffering? Then let him pray. You know, a lot of times we say like, and even in my family, we have people that say, hey, put this person on the prayer list. And I heard Margie ask one of them yesterday, he said, yeah, we'll continue to pray for him. Are you praying for him? It's like, oh yeah. We call in and say, hey, put this person on the prayer list, but are you praying for that person as well? The power of personal and corporate prayer is so important, and God wants to honor that. And so I was thinking, why don't some of us pray? Why is it such a burden whenever someone says, hey, we're going to have a prayer service, everybody goes, whoop. You know? Why is that? Why is that? Why is that? Why is that? And I kind of rolled this around in my quiet time this week with the family coming in everywhere. I think one of the things is some people think they're not qualified. What if the pastor calls on me? Maybe some of you have been in that situation in another church before where the pastor just says, hey, Brother Melvin, why don't you lead us in prayer? And all of a sudden you're put on the spot and you're like, you know, what do I say? And you know people that when they start to pray, you know, they talk like this, hey, how's it going, how's it going? But then when they start to pray, oh, most gracious Heavenly Father that moved the heaven and earth from, and it's like, where did that come from? Maybe I'm not qualified. You know, isn't that why we hire pastors and elders and Sunday school teachers and all of these people? Let them pray. I'm not really qualified to pray, and I think some of us kind of feel that way, and that's not the case at all. It's simply conversation back and forth with God. You know, James is saying, is anyone among you suffering? If you're sick, if you're depressed, if you're down, if you're poor, if you're broken, pray, pray, pray. That's what James is saying. And then if you're cheerful, sing psalms, sing hymns of praise, thanking him, woo-hoo, you know, where you just can't stop, hallelujah. And then another thing maybe God doesn't hear me. I tried that prayer thing once before. I prayed for something. It didn't happen. The person that I was praying for didn't get better. The job I was looking for didn't come through. All of these situations happened. God is not listening to me. And we start to believe that. But real people of faith, James is saying, pray all the time. And God wants to honor that. Think about this, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish, but would have life everlasting. Paul says this in Ephesians, by grace you have been saved and have raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In other words, God wants to bless us. God wants to move in our life. God wants to do things for us, but we have to reach out to him. So let's go through some of this. Verse 13, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Verse 14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it's working. Look at this. Are you suffering? Are you sick? Seek God's comfort through prayer. Prayer is the antidote to our suffering. If you're thankful, sing psalms. Sing thanksgiving. The natural response to a joyful heart is you're filled with thanksgiving. I just want to thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for this. If you're sick, and James is meaning those that are weakened by their suffering, you call on others for strength. There's nothing worse than when you are laying in the bed sick and your whole world is just kind of focused in that moment. You can't see beyond that. You need the prayers of people. You need the help of people. You need people praying for you and loving on you and checking in on you and bringing you Chick-fil-A and all of that stuff that happens when you're sick. The prayer of faith, it says, that's where we intercede, and that's where this corporate prayer is so important. We come together and we pray for these people. We pray for our missionaries that they would be safe and have opportunity to present the gospel. We pray for the sick people together on our list that God would move in their lives and give them what they need, whether it's health or finances or whatever. And then it says to confess our sins, mutual honesty, being open, saying like, you know what, I screwed up, I don't have it all together, I know it looks like I have it all together, I really don't have it all together, I need help, I need accountability, I need your prayers, I need your support, I need your strength, I need to, you know, lean on me when you're not strong, you know, you need somebody. The effective prayers of the righteous, the energetic, passionate prayers of godly people has the power to accomplish much. When was the last time you confessed your sin or shortcoming to somebody to say, you know what, I need your help? Or are you just trying to say like, oh, I got it all together, I don't want to burden you. You're going through a lot in your life, I don't want to bring anything up. He gives the example of Elijah. Let's move on. Verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man with a nature just like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Do you see this? He talks about Elijah because for the Jewish people, Elijah was, you know, he was the prophet. And it's like, hey, he's the man. He took on all the Baals. He just disappeared one day. You know, he was there. And he came back, and Elijah said, hey, double bless me. And then Elijah was just gone. And so Elijah meant a lot to the Jewish people. And he's saying, let me tell you about Elijah. Elijah was a man just like us. There was nothing special about Elijah. In fact, he went through the same emotions as us. He took on all the Baals. He called down fire from heaven. Boom, they're gone. You know, first he says, hey, you know, do whatever you have to do. I'll tell you what, on mine, pour water on the wood. Do all this other stuff. Watch this. God brings it. And then they said, okay, your God wins. He said, we're not done. We're not done. You, priest of Baal and everything, you're about to disappear. And he calls down the fire from heaven. Boom, 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 boom. But he was just like us. What does he do after that? He becomes depressed, despondent, goes and hangs out in a cave. And he's running from Jezebel. He's running from a woman. And yet here is this great man of faith. You know, sometimes we are filled with this bravado and it's like, man, I can take on the world and I'm going to do this. And then something happens and all of a sudden we just retreat. But James is saying, hey, Elijah was just like us. You know what he did? He just fervently prayed and prayed and prayed that it would not rain. And guess what? It didn't rain. The prayer of the righteous avails much. And then he prayed, okay, God, let it rain. And what happened? It rained. And he's saying, you are the same. You've got the same power in you through the Holy Spirit. You have the same power. You are no different than Elijah. Elijah prayed. He prayed again. We think of him as a superhero, but he was just like us. And that's comforting. Verse 19, my brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, he's talking about if anyone among you, this introduces maybe a third kind of category of people in the church, those who profess, but then they stray from the truth. And I think all of us go there sometimes. You know, when we come to Christ, we get this sense almost of euphoria. In other words, I'm finally saved, I'm finally free, but then real life sets in, and then we start to temper that feeling that we had, that experience that we had, and we start to try to justify it, or we, you know, it's like, what did you do this weekend? Oh, man, I was on church retreat. Church retreat? Man, that sounds boring. Oh, no, I really, yeah, it was pretty boring. You know, we backpedal. Instead of just going and laying it all out there. And then we get caught up in, well, you know what, that philosophy in the world, that does sound good. And if God really is just love, he'll allow all of this stuff. Because love wins, right? Yeah, there's sometimes my parents showed they loved me by beating the snot out of me because of stupid things that I did. not because they were mad at me. They did it so that I wouldn't do that behavior again and maybe end up hurting myself or killing myself or doing whatever. You know? Sometimes love hurts. Love isn't always, hey, you get whatever you want. Do whatever you want. You know, it's okay. Just kind of keep doing that. Keep acting that way, you know, because it's all good. It's all good. In verse 20, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. You know, the prayers that he's talking about, praying for those that are sick, praying for those that are in need, offering strength, confessing our sins to others, letting them confess our sins without judging, because we all fall short. That's what the scripture says. We all fall short of the glory of God. We're all sinners and we all have gone astray, but Jesus loved us and still does love us. He'll correct us, but we need the help and confession. So you've got prayers for people. You've got confession. You have prayers of thanksgiving. You also have intercessory prayers for others. And that's where James ends his scripture. Let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. How do we do that? We pray. We pray for our prodigal children and our prodigal parents and our prodigal friends. We pray, 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 and we don't stop praying. And that's what James says. You just keep praying because you are praying to save a soul. You know that the stakes are high. And covering this multitude, since one sin can condemn us, why sit there and point out all these sins that this person has in their life when we have sin in our life? Let God do that. You just pray, pray, pray that the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them. James uses multitude to emphasize that there is a hopeless condition of lost sinners. And if it matters to God, it should matter to us. So what does all of this mean? So I want you to consider this. The first thing, we can't pray for you or others if they don't share their need or struggles with us. I say that because sometimes in the church, like somebody will come up to me on a Sunday and say, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? It's like, no, what happened? Oh, well, they were in the hospital for like 3 weeks. It's like, nobody said anything. Nobody knew, you know? And so if you want prayer, if you need prayer, which we all want and we all need, let somebody know. Hey, I need you to pray for me. I got a tough week coming up. I got some doctor tests coming up. I'm kind of nervous about. Hey, I haven't been sleeping well. Can you pray for me? Let us know, and we will pray for you. The second thing, if you are feeling discouraged, if you are feeling beat up, if you are feeling worn out, especially as this holiday season starts to get faster and faster and faster, and we're going down this eddy, and we feel like we're drowning at times with everything that's going on in our schedules, and we're going on, and we're discouraged, and we feel defeated, and we're beat up, and there's not enough money, pray. Right now, pray. And then another thing to consider, as we look at this, in what ways would you like to grow as a better prayer, a person who prays powerfully, who gets on their knees and intercedes and prays for others and says, how can I serve you? What specifically can I pray for you? Donald and I, not a tradition, but I talked to Donald a long time ago, and one of the things when somebody comes up to me and they start to tell me all this stuff that's going on in their life, I'll stop right there and say, hey, can I pray with you? And I remember one time I was leaving Home Depot, and I hear Donald, Paul, and I said, what? He says, come over here. I want you to meet my neighbor. I said, man, this is the guy I told you about. We need to be praying for him. Will you pray for him right now? It's like, yeah, so right there in Home Depot parking lot, man, we just put hands on him and laid our hands on him and just prayed for him. Pray. If they need something, pray. Pray, pray, pray. And then the last thing, how can the three-point community, how can we as a family and as a group of people engage more in prayer? You know, maybe Tuesday night at 7 o'clock doesn't work out for everybody, but what can we do to make sure that we are all involved and that we are all praying? That we are praying the prayer of faith. that we are praying when we're in need. We're praying in, when we're giving thanks. We're praying and interceding on behalf of people that may not even know we're praying for them and maybe aren't even praying for themselves. What can we do? So as we finish the book of James, I just love that, you know, he starts off kind of stepping on toes, actually stomping on toes and things. And again, he's Jesus' half-brother. So, you know, he's kind of lived with the Savior and watched him grow, even though he didn't believe he was the Savior at first. You know, he heard from him, learned from him, and later became the in charge of the whole Jerusalem church. And so he was getting onto them who've been dispersed, and he's saying, don't give up the faith. Your real faith has to show, and it's by the fruit that we bear. Father, I just pray that we would be a church of prayers. Your word says that this would be called a house of prayer, and Father, we just pray that the prayer would just ignite the passion in the Holy Spirit here in this place. Father, I pray that you would give us opportunities to pray with and for others, that you will give us opportunities, Father, to minister in the lives of people that are far from us, people that we disagree with our friends, with our families, with our brothers and sisters, that you would walk with us and speak to us. And Father, we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.